A prophet once said, "Man is not defiled by what he puts in his mouth, he is defiled by what comes out of his mouth." And we are so particular, you know, what I should eat, organic food, you know, go to lessons, go to farmer's market, eat healthy, water should be pure. But we are very particular what we put in our body, but what comes out of our mouth, the kind of words that come out. Are there words of love, or is there anger, or is there selfishness, or is there greed? And what will come out of our mouth is what we put into our mind. If we put negative thoughts, associate with negative people, negative books, negative videos, TV, then negative thoughts will come out. But if we associate with saints, teachers, texts like Bhagavad Gita, then good thoughts will come out. And that's why the value of satsang. You know, in the company of good people who are discussing good things, our mind is elevated. And that's why studying the Bhagavad Gita turns our mind in the higher direction. So far in the third chapter, Bhagavan has told us that there is only one path, and that is the highest path of knowledge. And the path of karma yoga or service prepares us for this knowledge. And how should I do my work? Bhagavan says, "Niyatam guru karmatvam karma jayohi karmana." Do your daily duties. Nitya karma, naimitya karma, special duties, and obligatory duties, kartavya karma. So do all three, your daily, your special, and obligatory, without likes and dislikes, with the idea that I am serving the world, and in that process, serving the Lord, without ego, without I or my or doership. And the ability to accommodate or adjust with others is very essential. The best example we find is in a traditional Indian home. We don't see that nowadays, but in the traditional Indian home, when a girl got married and went to her husband's house, she hardly even knew the husband. You know, hardly maybe met him once or twice, definitely didn't know his parents, his brother, his sister. And she had to accommodate, she had to adjust with all of them. So that spirit of adjustment, of give and take, of sharing is the yajna spirit, where I work in collaboration with others for the betterment of the family. And sacrifice is not only for the woman, but also for the man. He can't say, "I'm earning, so I don't have to help around the house." He has to, you know, work with his wife. Then when the children come, he has to sacrifice his welfare. So when this attitude of sacrifice is there, then only the family will prosper, then only the community will prosper, then only the nation. Because what is the nation, what is the community? Is family and the individual. So the family is the unit from where the whole chakra of this yajna chakra starts. And that is what we have to do. And then Bhagavan said that, Devan bhavyatan ena te deva bhavayantu yaha parasparam bhavayantaha shreyav paramavapsyatha. He says that these devas are not only gods in heaven, but devas are the natural forces, air, water, earth. And we have to nourish the air, we have to nourish the water, we have to nourish the earth. If we pollute, then obviously the air won't protect us, the water won't, and the earth won't. So that is how the environment needs to be preserved for man to grow, for man to do better. And then he says, Yai dattana pradayebhyah yo bhunkte stena evasa. So one who takes whatever society gives him, whatever the community gives him, whatever the devas give him, the natural forces, and does not share with others, such a person is a thief. Because he or she is taking without giving back. So the goal is that whatever I get, a portion of that, I have to give back to society, I have to serve, not keep all for myself. And then only society will prosper. Otherwise, so those who only cook and eat for themselves, they eat sin. What it means is that if I only serve myself and take care of myself, that is a sinful activity. And those who share with others are evolving. Muchyante sarva kelbishahi. They are freed from all sins, from all vasanas. What are sins? They are vasanas which get reduced in the path of service. So now, after having talked about this worldly wheel, how the world works, now Bhagwan is talking about the divine wheel, how the entire universe works. So it is, he's taking our attention from the lower, slowly to the higher, to the totality. So verse number 14, chapter 3, verse number 14. Annat bhavanti bhutani.
Annat bhavanti bhutani.
Parchanyadanna sambhavah.
Parchanyadanna sambhavah.
Yajnyat bhavanti parjanyah.
Yajnyat bhavanti parjanyah.
Yajna karma samudbhavah.
Yajna karma samudbhavah.
Verse 15 is together. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi.
Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi.
Brahmakshara samudbhavam.
Brahmakshara samudbhavam.
Tasmat sarvagatam brahma.
Tasmat sarvagatam brahma.
Nityam yagne pratishthitam.
Nityam yagne pratishthitam.
So I'll just translate, and then these two verses we'll discuss. Very, very beautiful verses. Annat bhavanti bhutani. So how are beings? Bhuta are beings. How are they created? By food. They are all created out of food. And where does food come from? Parjanyat. From rain, anna sambhavah. So food is created by rain. That we all agree. But then there is one sentence that we may not agree with, but we'll see. Bhagwan says, yajnyat bhavanti yajnyat bhavati parjanya. How does rain come? From yajna. So rain comes from yajna. How does that? So we'll talk about that. And then yajna karma samudbhavah. So this yajna spirit comes from karma. And then where does karma come from? Karma comes from brahma. Brahma udbhavam vidhi. So karma comes from brahma. And Brahma has many meanings, but the one that Gurudev is using is Brahmaji, but there are other meanings also. So karma comes from Brahmaji, Brahm Udbhavam Vidhi, and Brahmaji comes from the Akshara, the imperishable Brahman, the total reality is where the creator comes from. And that's why Tasmat. So having summarized, having said these particular statements, Bhagavan says, therefore, sarvagatam brahma, the all-pervading Brahman, nityam yajne pratishtitam. Nityam is always in yajna pratishtitam, is stationed, is established, is present. So let us see. So as it says, food comes, beings come from food, food comes from rain. Rain comes from yajna. Yajna comes from karma. Karma comes from Brahmaji. Brahmaji comes from the imperishable. And that imperishable or pervading Brahman is always there when yajna spirit is carried out. So let us start one by one. So beings come from food. We all know that. Because, you know, in the mother's womb, the fetus is created where food eaten by the father and then food eaten by the mother creates the living being. And then how is this being nourished? By food eaten by the mother. So she nourishes this being for 9 months with food that she has eaten. And then once the child is born, obviously he continues to nourish, or she continues to nourish by eating food. If there is no food, there will be drought, and obviously the person won't survive. So that we all know, that food is us. But not only we come from food, that is, we come from earth, but we go back to the earth, like the tree. You know, root comes, becomes a big tree, gives fruits for many years, and then ultimately the tree becomes old, the bark is, the trunk is very weak, and then it falls down, and then it goes back into the earth. Human beings also, we are created from earth, and then when we perish, we go back to the five elements. The earth goes to the earth, the air to the air, the water to the water, space, and so on. So we come from earth, and we go back into the earth. So beings come from food, go back to the food. And obviously we all know that food is created by rain. Now, it is amazing to think, suppose we try to eat rocks, or we try to eat calcium, carbon, phosphorus. Can we survive? No, we can't. We need living beings. Jivo jivasya jivanam, Swami Ishwarananji once had told me. He says, jivo jivasya jivanam. Only a living being can be food for another living being. I have to eat something alive. I cannot eat something which is dead. But it's so interesting, when rain falls on that little seed, now that seed grows little roots and then grows a little small little plant. Now the roots get nourishment from inanimate objects, from the calcium, carbon, phosphorus. How does it do that? This is inanimate. These are rocks. And in the rocks, in the mud, in the dirt, when the plant is growing, it is absorbing energy, it is absorbing food, and then becomes, you know, grain, becomes wheat, or becomes vegetable, or becomes fruit. And so how does this process happen? It's such a miraculous process. And then, of course, that plants become food for us and also become food for cattle. So if somebody is non-vegetarian, then he also gets food from the same plant, which goes to the cattle, and then the cattle becomes. So it is the rain that creates food. Then the third question is, yagna creates rain, and the yagna comes from karma, and karma comes from Brahmaji. So how does yagna create rain, and what is the meaning of Brahma? So Brahma has several meanings in our Vedas depending on the context. So one is, Brahmaji is the creator of the entire universe. The second meaning of Brahmaji, or Brahma, not Brahmaji, Brahma is Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma. So Saguna Brahma is Brahma with form, whether it's Krishna, or whether it's Shiva, or whether it is Jesus or Buddha, whatever the form of Lord that we worship is Saguna Brahma. And Nirguna is the all-pervading reality, which is the substratum, which we cannot see, hear, smell, taste, touch, or feel or think, but is the support of this entire universe. So there are many meanings. Then Brahma also means Vedas. The Vedas, which are our essential scriptures, are also called Brahma because they are the origin of everything that we know. And then Brahma, the last meaning is Brahmana, the Brahmanas, the human beings. Again, Brahmanas, Gurudev says, they are not the threaded variety. It does not mean that by wearing a janeu thread, you automatically become Brahman. To be truly called Brahman is not one who wears a thread or one who is born in a Brahman family, but Brahmani Charati Iti Brahman. So one whose mind always revels in Brahman, that person only can call himself Brahman. So if you truly want to be, and a Brahman can be from any caste, even a person like Janak Maharaj, he was a Kshatriya, but his mind was always reveling in that Brahman. So he is a Brahman. It doesn't matter. And then we have examples of people of the lowest caste. You know, they also, when they were thinking of Lord, then Lord accepts them. So caste is not a barrier, and Brahman is not belonging to a particular caste. So let us see how yagnas can create rain. So the Vedas, as we said, is also Brahma, give us what is called as a Parjanya Sutra. They are described in our Vedas. And this sutra had to be performed, this yagna had to be performed by a king. So the king would first purify himself, you know, practice austerities, fast, and so on, then collect taxes, fair amount of taxes from the people who would all contribute to this yagna, where this yagna would be set up. Everybody would take a bath and come with a pure mind and sit down there. And then pandits, who also were very pure, were selected, would chant this Parjanya Sutra described in the Vedas. And it is said that would cause rain to fall, that much power these mantras had. But that, okay, we say nowadays it's very hard to find such, you know, pure kings and pure, you know, priests and all that. So then Gurudev talks about rain as being conditions, favorable conditions, and the available profit. So what do we mean by that? So when rain falls, then the suitable conditions are made for the crop to grow. And when the crop grows, then you harvest that crop, that becomes the profit, right? So rain is the favorable condition. Profit is the result of the rain, where you get the favorable crop. So similarly, in this world, how do we create favorable conditions for the world to do well? By working together in the spirit of cooperation, in the yagna spirit. When people all work together, that is rain, that is the favorable condition. And what is the profit? Profit is the betterment of society. So what is rain? Rain is the favorable condition, which people, when they work with yagna spirit, when they work together, sharing and helping each other, then the result that you get is good for the entire society. So that's the second meaning. And Gurudev in his commentary talks about the dam, you know, like when the river water is being wasted, the people get together and put a dam. Now, who does that? It's not only the government. Of course, the government puts the money, then the architects, the engineers, the scientists, the physicists who plan it, the laborers, the contractors, the suppliers, everybody, the whole community participates, and then the water is then mobilized to irrigate the fields. And there also the farmer has to come and work in the day, all day in the heat, and, you know, plow the land and wait and plant the seed and wait for the harvest and collect all that. So that is the yagna spirit, where the crops are created. Then another commentary I was reading, it says that water is life. What is water? Rain is life. Because if there is no water, there is no life. Like in so many planets, they have seen, if there is no water, there is no possibility of life. And water has to be liquid. Like in the distant planets, Saturn, Pluto, there is ice, frozen. Again, life cannot survive. So water has to be liquid. So liquid water is required for life. Now, how does this water fall? How does this rain fall? How does this water get created? First of all, life can only be sustained when people work in a cooperative spirit. If they don't, then what will happen? They'll destroy each other. One country will, we have enough nuclear weapons that if one country starts fighting with another country, the whole universe will be very quickly destroyed. The whole earth will be. So the point is that cooperative spirit alone is sustaining the life. If it happens that today one nuclear power starts fighting with another nuclear power, we will end. The other meaning of life and water is the example is the ocean. Now the ocean has plenty of water, but can we drink it? No, we can't. It is salty water. That's why in Ramayana there's a episode where Hanumanji, Angad and Jambavan, they reach, and other monkeys, they reach this ocean where they have to cross to go to. And there's so much water, but they are all so thirsty, they can't drink. So ocean water, even though it's plentiful, is not fit for drinking. Now, how does this water get fit for drinking? The sun, which is, as we had talked last time, which is the elements which perform the yagna spirit, the sun heats the ocean, not with the desire of getting anything, but sun says, my nature is to heat, and the ocean is heated, and the water evaporates. Water evaporates, becomes cloud, and then the cloud falls into rain. But that transformation of salty water into sweet pure drinkable water is Shuddhikaran, is purification. So that water which was unsuitable is now purified by the action of the sun to become pure rain water which nourishes all of us. So similarly for you and me, working with karma yoga, working with karma spirit is Shuddhi, is purification of the Shuddhikaran, purification of my mind, my reduction of my vasanas. And only by working with that, in that fashion, can we nourish the world, can make it better. So the example is the ocean has plenty of water. It shares a part of its water to nourish all of us. Does not say, oh, I have the water, I'm going to keep it. No, I'll share it. Similarly, whatever we have, if we have extra knowledge, we should share our knowledge. If we have extra wealth, we should share our wealth, not keep it. That reminds me of a story. There was this man who never shared his wealth and it with anybody, very greedy. But finally, his last times came, he was very sick and he knew he's not going to live very long. So he knows he can't take it. So he distributes among his children and his wife all his land and property. But he still wants to control how he will die. Still, you know, the money he's controlled. He says $30,000 should be spent on my funeral. So he gives the lawyer instructions, $30,000 have to be spent on my funeral for me. So lawyer says, okay. So after he dies, the lawyer gives the check to the widow. Here's $30,000, you have to spend on his funeral. So she says, okay. So the funeral goes very well and everything is over and the person is buried. So after a few days, her friend comes to ask her, so did you spend $30,000 on his funeral? She says, yes, I did. She says, how $30,000? She says, well, $6,000 went to the cemetery to buy the plot. Okay, $1,000 I spent for food and for other arrangements, $7,000. And $500 I donated to the church. $7,500. What happened to the other $22,500 you were supposed to spend? She said, with that I bought a memorial stone. She says, memorial stone for $22,500? How big was the memorial stone? She says, 2.5 carats. So we can't control. After a certain amount of time, you have to give up. So better is to give up while you're awake and utilize it for good sources instead of having other people decide how they will spend your money. So that's what I'm saying. Don't leave your money for your wife. Just spend it. Similarly, in government, you know, people say, why do I have to pay taxes? Oh, people get so upset when they write the check to the IRS. But think about it, if we don't pay taxes, the government, what does it do for us? It provides us defense, it provides us police, it maintains the roads, it makes dams. You know, so many functions are performed by the government. If we don't pay our fair share of taxes, where is the government going to get? So that is called Yajna spirit, where I cheerfully give the government so that and especially those who are rich are the ones who pay the least taxes because they have all these accountants and everybody. So they should be paying more so that the poor people benefit. Same thing in business. In business, we see that people say, I have earned from my business. I'm not going to spend. No, if you do not spend, then how will the economy support itself? If one business keeps all the profit and does not spend, then what will happen? The money will not circulate. The other people won't get work. And when they don't get work, they're not going to buy your product. You sell your product one time, but for ongoing sales, you have to stimulate the economy. So like in Delhi, they used to tell the story, business people, the old timers, they just wore a dhoti and banyan and went to work, lived in a small little apartment, Kholi, and small little shop, and they worked day and night and made crores of rupees, never spent a penny. And then what happened after they died? They gave it to their children. And guess what? The children didn't work for that. So what they did, they bought koti in Greater Kailash, in South Delhi, you know, big koti, big Mercedes, big, and eating, drinking, all these bad habits came because the money they had not got without working. So the point is that this, there has to be a constant flow and has to be used in the good way. And Brahmana is also called Dvija or twice born. As we said, Brahmana is one of the meaning. Dvija means twice born. How is Brahmana said to be twice born? Even in Christianity, they say he's a twice born Christian, born again Christian. What it means is one time we are born from our mother's womb, and then second time when there is the death of the ego, when the ego dies, then that individuality that is created is the pure being. And that's what we find in all these Mahatmas, all these great saints, whether it's Gurudev or Shankaracharya ji or Jesus or Buddha, where their ego perished and they became the true reality. And environment we already talked about, and Brahmanas we already talked about. So the total consciousness, Brahmana, Brahman, the total consciousness pervades everything, pervades the karmas, the Vedas, then the karmas, then the people who perform the karmas, the Brahmans who actually do the rituals, then the food, the rain, and the yajna spirit. So everything in this universe is supported by that one consciousness. So when I am doing a yajna, when I am doing helping the community, I should think that I was created by the Lord, the ability to create, to work has been given, and with that attitude, that is called working with the yajna spirit. So that is verse number 14 and 15, where it says that grain creates man, and then grain comes from rain, rain comes from yajna, yajna comes from karma, from the Vedas, and the Vedas come from the total consciousness, or Brahmaji again comes from total consciousness. So everything I see in this universe is that one Brahman, that sarvam akhilam atma eva, it's said in one of the Vedas, it is said, whatever I see is Brahman alone in different names and forms. So that understanding, and Brahman is not again somebody sitting somewhere, but is in me. So I am everybody. I again does not mean I, the limited I called Anil or Neeru or Arun, but I, that total consciousness, the Atman, the Brahman, the Self, which is my true nature. So that is the essence of this being. And Brahman is not again somebody sitting somewhere, but is in me. So I am everybody. I again does not mean I, the limited I called Anil or Neeru or Arun, but I, that total consciousness, the Atman, the Brahman, the Self, which is my true nature. So that is the essence of this verse, that you see this Brahman everywhere.